Good afternoon and welcome to The Boldness on 3CR, 8:55 AM, Radical Radio. My name is Rafael Caleb. I am your host presenter tonight. The Boldness talks about disability from a lived experience of disability, and that's also the big 3CR radio song. The number to call is 039-419-8377. And we've actually just had somebody call through. I'd like to thank Mr. Peter Jordan from Hawthorne for contributing $50 to the Radiothon. But most importantly, we've got a guest. And who we're talking with tonight, she is a first-time author. Her name is Olivia Musket, and she's written a book which is called My Name is Zimmermeyer. How are you doing tonight, Olivia?
I'm really well, thank you.
Well, I am very, very glad that you are doing extremely well, and I'm doing extremely well hearing your voice. It actually warms me up on this chilly day.
Oh, excellent.
Now, we're here to talk about your book, My Name is Zimmermeyer. We're waiting, we're a shiver with anticipation.
My name is Jemima is the book. I don't know. Where do we start?
Well, what's the book about? Is that Jemima, is that you've got an assistance animal, a guide dog? What's the role of a guide dog? How beneficial is it for you to have Jemima?
Big question. I can't really sum that up in a few sentences. But, yes, so I have a guide dog. I'm totally blind, and I have a guide dog who is called Jemima. And her role, it's really funny. People really have this sense that they know what guide dogs are and what they do. But a lot of people have these strange misconceptions about what that means. So they think that guide dogs are GPSs, or guide dogs can read signs for you. but that isn't the role of a guide dog. Guide dogs are mostly there to help with safety things, so avoiding obstacles and helping, not deciding, you know, when it's safe for you to cross the road, but, you know, things like helping you actually get across safely to the other side in a nice straight line, or wherever the pram ramp might be. It's very much they are a mobility aid to get places safely. It's still the blind person's job to know where they're going and what they're doing. But although they do learn. No, you can't just say to a guide dog, oh, hey, Jemima, take me to the post office or the good cafe. But if you go somewhere a lot, they do learn. They do learn things, and it makes getting places a lot easier and takes a lot less effort from me.
Right. Now, the role of a guide dog is an extremely important one.
Mm.
Jemima, gee, that's a good little tongue twist. I'm going to have to work that one out later on because I have not got a phonetic pronunciation of it. She was the inspiration, but in the words of the great, late, great Stella Young, which I cannot actually say this on air, but I'm going to anyway. She did that great interview where somebody said, you're such an inspiration, and Stella said, you're not my beep inspiration. Went down, it was on live television, great little effort there. Now, Jemima, she can't do a bark for us, but with Jemima as a guide dog, they are basically, should be only answerable to the trainer, which would be yourself. Why is it important that Jemima is only answerable to the person, like yourself, when they're working?
We're a team. She's my dog. I'm her handler. And it's important because, that's a really good question. And I know the answer. I'm just, how do I sum it up nicely?
Well, it's live on radio, so we don't worry about being nice. We worry about answering the question.
Just get it done. She's answerable to me. It's more that her focus her focus needs to be on me because, you know, her role, her job, which she really enjoys doing, I might add, is to keep me safe and get us places and make sure that, you know, I don't run into a random bin or telephone pole. And if she's focused on somebody else, she could easily forget to do that because if you've ever met a Labrador, you know how distracted they are by an empty food wrapper. So if, you know, people are waving food in their face or saying hello or trying to pat them, you know, it's very distracting for them and they need to be, you know, on the job, focused and as you say, kind of, yeah, answerable to their handler so we don't distract them, which is, yeah, kind of why I wrote the book in the first place because a lot of people don't know that or don't really understand the importance of actually leaving guide dogs or any assistance dogs alone to do their job.
Yep. Now, we've actually just had another phone call come in. It's a donation for Radiothon, and a little bit of nostalgia comes into it. It is under the name in honour of Finn Meir, who was one of the presenters on The Boldness, and he did pass away last year. He'd done a lot of work with The Boldness for about 15 or 16 years, double degree in journalism and disability, and that is from Kath Duncan in Carlton, $200. Can we have a big round of applause? And if you would like to have your name read out on air, please call 039-419-8377, and you too can join the Hall of Fame for supporting The Boldness for Radiothon. And then we can continue with the interview with Olivia Musket, and we are talking about her book, My Name is Jemima. Now, with writing the book, we have gone through Jemima is a guide dog, companion, soulmate, assistance animal to look after you. How do people in the public respond to Jemima? Like, when Jemima is working, does Jemima have an costume, an outfit, or something to say to the public that they know that Jemima is working?
She doesn't have a brightly coloured coat or anything, but she does have a very very obvious that she's wearing a harness with a big chunky handle, and that is sort of is the sign. And yeah, some assistance dogs, some guide dogs or seeing eye dogs will have their coats or even signs on them, but I'm sort of disorganised and have never got around to that. But she's got a big harness on, so that is the sign that, like, okay, this dog is on the job, they're on the clock, better not, as much as, you know, they're lovely and everyone wants to say hello, it's probably not the right time.
Look, and that's a really good point that you've raised there, that, now, listeners, this is very important, we're doing a bit of an education session here. When working dog assistance animal such as Jemima is working, they're wearing a jacket and they are with the person they're supposed to be doing, why shouldn't people pat the dog?
Yeah, it all comes back to distraction. No matter what it is, patting, staring lovingly at them, whatever it is, it all comes back to not distracting the dog while they're doing their job. And that, you know, when we're walking, especially somewhere busy, it's really important not to distract them because, you know, they're helping me, you know, not run into stuff. You know, sorry, not just me, their handler. But it's also, people will often say to me, oh, but she's not doing anything right now. She's just sitting there, you know, under your chair. And I'm like, yes, but her job, while I'm in this cafe or on this train or in this theatre, is to sit quietly and not make a ruckus. Because if I want to say, you know, insist on my legal right to take her basically anywhere that I'm going as my, you know, guide dog, she needs to know, all right, well, I need to behave now. I need to sit still. And if people insist on patting and riling them up and, you know, saying, hello, how are you? Just a dog. Look how cute. That doesn't allow them to, you know, do their job and makes my life or any handler's life more difficult because we need to say, okay, calm down now, like, chill out, Jem. We're in a public place. You need to relax. So it's not just the walking around that we shouldn't be interrupting. It's like whatever the dog is doing, whether you think they're working or not, but looks like they might be because they've got their harness or coat on, or, you know, they just look like, oh, there's a dog in, I'm trying to think of a place, the supermarket. It's probably a working dog. Just, you know, leave it alone. Love it from afar.
Yep. Oh, look, and talking about love from afar, that I'm going to do another call out here. Now, it is the 3CR Radiothong. Now, if you'd like to help support the Boldness, you can also go to www.3cr.org.au, and on the webpage there's big button saying that donate, and if you nominate the Boldness as your favourite program, that would be absolutely wonderful because it helps us do interviews such as with Olivia Musket, who's the author of My Name Is Your Mamima, and we have got another phone call that has just come in from Mr. Damien Gilberly. Now, I actually know Damien. He runs a business which actually helps people with a disability, which is called Organiser Wiz. And once you actually talk to them, the Organiser Wiz is registered for National Disability Insurance Scheme as a provider, and it can actually help people actually have things organised in the same way that once we've had these community service announcements. Olivia, you'd like to maybe tell us about how people can be organised with the book My Name Is Your Mamima. How does that sound to you?
Sounds great.
Well, let's play some community service announcements, and that's done by our esteemed panellist, Mr. Brendan Bonzak. Welcome back to the Boldness on 3CR 855 AM Radical Radio. We're talking with first-time author Olivia Musket about her book, My Name Is Your Mamima. And as promised, we were going to ask Olivia to say on how Jemima helps Olivia stay organised, be organised with her life as an assistance animal. Hello, Olivia.
Yes, I'm still here.
Right. That's so good that you're still here. But how does Jemima help you stay organised?
I wish she could help me stay organised by, finding the stuff I need when I'm in a hurry to leave the house. But unfortunately, she doesn't do things like that. I know there are some very clever dogs out there who will do things like that. But she helps me. If you're talking about staying organised, I think it helps me to stay organised to be sort of safe in the knowledge that when I'm going places, I don't need to always allow heaps of extra time to do, you know, walk somewhere or walk from a transport to wherever I'm going, because she'll take care of getting there nice and quickly and safely. I think that's the main way she helps me stay organised. Unfortunately, all the paperwork and admin is up to me.
Right. I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know how accurate it is, but it's quite a good way to do this. Well, it's kind of like, often on television, like a program like, let's say, The Simpsons, they have got an episode about having a helper monkey, which apparently a person could talk to the monkey and it could actually fetch anything from, let's say, a beer for Homer or slippers for Homer. Can assistant animals like guide dogs do things like that, or are they trained for it?
Guide dogs and seeing eye dogs, yeah, they're not really trained for that sort of thing. Like I said, I wish a little bit, no. But I know there are other kinds of dogs that might do things like that, but I'm unfortunately not an expert in that area. But, yeah, guide dogs and seeing eye dogs, really their forte is mobility, and so their training really revolves around that sort of stuff, rather than fetching items or picking things up or locating things. They can locate a bus stop really well, but, yeah, it's more things like that,
yep.
Buildings and streets and stuff like that.
Yep, certainly. Now, we've actually had a few more people ringing, so I'm just going to read them out very quickly here.
Oh, of course.
Mr. Rongai from City Komamadadai. I cannot work out what that abbreviation actually is, but we'd like, the boldness would like to say thank you very much for your $50. And MS Teresa Grimer from Coburg for a donation of $10. Thank you very, very much for that. It's kind of like receiving standing ovation, that kind of thing. Now, is it one of those things that keeping the focus on Olivia and her book, My Name is Jemima, which, am I pronouncing Jemima correctly, Olivia?
Yeah, just Jemima. It's like the doll from Play School or the duck from the Beatrix Potter stories, Jemima.
Right.
You can just call her Jem. You don't buy Jem.
Oh, Jemima is such a gorgeous name. It kind of conjures of someone who, an animal that is faithful, it's loyal, and very caring. Now, what about some of the problems a person may encounter when they're using an assistance to animals? Is there any effort problems if you're going to be using a taxi or an Uber?
Yeah, look, that comes up a lot. And it gets called out a lot because I think it does happen in other places. Like there are some shops and restaurants that aren't across it, but very much with taxis and Ubers and stuff, you'll often find refusals based on the fact that you have an assistance animal with you. And it gets very old very quickly. And look, I feel really lucky that it actually hasn't happened to me for a while, and I don't want to jinx it. But yeah, it's not like it's all the time, but then when it does happen, it can really take you by surprise and kind of ruin your whole day when someone says, oh, you know, you can't get where you need to be going because I don't want you and your animal in my car. And some of them don't know the rules and are very happy to, like, let you in once you've sort of explained the situation, but that still takes time. And there are other times when the person clearly does know what the law is around guide dogs and assistance animals, but just really doesn't want Labrador in their car. So, yeah, it's not the most fun. And it is a thing, you know, it's one of those extra things that I have to budget time for, and because I don't like to be late if I can avoid it.
Oh, look, totally, totally understandable. And this is one of the things that the Boldness has done advocate. Well, we've actually publicised and highlight the fact with assistant animals such as guide dogs, that the Equal Opportunity Act and the Anti-Discriminate Act, and people, when they are not actually taking this on board, they actually, heavy penalties can apply, and it's disrespectful to the actual person. Anyway, and that's one of the things, but it's about access and inclusion. Speaking of access and inclusion there, the Boldness would actually love listeners to be included in this lovely process called radio by calling 0394198377 to donate and to help support the Boldness. But Olivia, speaking of access and inclusion, you've got a number of public appearances coming up talking about My Name is Jemima. Tell us about them.
Yeah, so I think actually we haven't touched on this yet today, but I feel like it's important to note for these events especially that My Name is Jemima is a children's book. So it's a children's picture book. And it's aimed at kids. That doesn't mean that anyone can read it, because honestly, it's a good time. And the illustrations by Alison Colfoys are absolutely beautiful. So it's not limited to just kids, but it is aimed at children. So the events coming up are story times. And the next couple are on the 6th of July. So it's still a couple of weeks away, although time is slipping away faster than I realise. So 6th of July, that's a Sunday, at Readings Kids. In Carlton, we'll be doing a little story time and we'll have a Q&A. I'll be there. Real life Jemima will be there. And we'll be signing books. And Jemima also, we have a stamp of her real life paw, to sign people's books with, and people seem to be really enjoying that, which is nice. And the other story time coming up is the day after, the Monday, the 7th of July, at Richmond Library. We'll be doing a little story time, sort of same situation, read the book, have a little chat. Jemima will be there. And, of course, we'd both be happy to sign books as well.
Now, certainly is that off the top of my head, if I remember Richmond Library correctly, is that upstairs or downstairs that you'll be signing the books?
You know, that would be a really good thing for me to know, but I'm not sure. And I've never actually been there myself, so I couldn't even guess. But though I do advocate for all the events I do to be as accessible as possible, so... you know, ground floor sounds like a good plan to me, but I can't give you 100% guarantee.
Right. Now, just to kind of like wrap this all up, Olivia, whereabouts can people purchase My Name is Jemima from?
Well, anywhere. Anywhere you buy books, anywhere you enjoy to buy books from there. But I will let you know that just this morning I did a little bit of a tour signing some books. So if you want to pick up a signed copy and you can't make it to an event, we signed copies at Brunswick Street Books this morning in Fitzroy, and Brunswick Bound Bookshop, and also Reading Kids. And they have a really fun window display of Jemima as well. But, yeah, anywhere you like to buy books is the place to buy it.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for joining us on The Boldness tonight, Olivia.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure. It's been great. We've just been talking with Olivia Muscat, the author of My Name is Jemima, a very important children's book. And we have to remember that children are the future of today, and early they start learning about disability, access, inclusion, and the system terminals, the better it is for everyone. Now, it's 3CR Radio's on, so for one last time, if you'd like to donate, please go to www.3cr.org.au and click on the donate button. That would be absolutely marvellous. And to really finish up, a quick reminder, there is a bonus interview on the podcast edition of The Boldness. It is with a woman called Andy Snelling, the star of Happy Go Wrong. It's allegedly the last season, last opportunity you'll get to see it, but The Boldness went behind the scenes with Andy Snelling. Started in 2019, won 5-star reviews, being absolutely fantastic. Let's go out with a song by Jen Frank from Wild at Heart songwriting group called You're Not My Lover. And Jen Frank's music has been played on Rage on Channel 2 recently. You've been ghosted. Thank you for joining me tonight. Keep listening to 3CR, 8:55 a.m. If you don't think the revolution started, you're listening to the wrong station. My name is Rafael Caleb. We'll be back on the 25th of June.